Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, whatever time of the day it is that you're tuning in. Welcome to the Resilience Society podcast. I am Cinnamon Key, also known as Naturally Cinnamon, and I am joined by my co-host,
Sharice Wright.
Hey, Sharice Wright.
Hey, Sin.
We are here to help you cultivate your resilience. Sharice, how are you?
I am well. I'm good. Yeah, it's been an interesting week, but I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
This has been one of those weeks. I'm very happy that we're doing this topic on this episode because I think I need it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This has been one of those weeks where there has been positive and negative, but the positives have not necessarily outweighed the negatives. And so it's been a lot.
I understand.
It's been a lot.
Okay.
I saved this for the episode to share with you. My daddy was rushed to the hospital because he passed out a few days ago.
Wait. What?
So you can imagine. Why? Okay, so pause. Listeners, I'm just going to be transparent, completely transparent. I have done all I can for the past like 25 minutes not to burst into tears because this whole week has been a lot. And I was just like, if I could just get to Friday night, I'll be all right. And then everything went wrong with my laptop and we could not go live when we were scheduled to go live. And I was just like, I did not need this. I did not need this because this week has been a lot and I'll just keep saying this is just a lot. I recognize the positives, but man, there's been a lot of other and a couple of scares in the midst of that. So that's been my week.
So, how's Daddy Wallace?
He stayed in the hospital for a few days. He is home.
Okay.
I will share the details offline because I know he would not appreciate me sharing them online. Mm-hmm. But he is home as of today.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
And that's... Hmm. That's enough for me.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, we thank God that he is home.
Yes. And so now as far as anything else going on, and I know we have some things that have occurred in this here country that we live in that we chose not to discuss on last episode, but they don't seem to be fading into the background anytime soon. So, yeah, here we are.
Here we are. Yeah, and we were intentional with not talking about it last week, just to kind of, in hopes of giving space for people to just breathe, for them to just exhale and inhale. So, yeah, it's been a lot. It's been a lot. It's been
absolutely
a lot.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I know for me, when last week happened, so the day started and I was super excited celebrating with the win of Raphael Warnock, and I was like, yes, you know, look at Georgia, super excited. And then I turned on, I got on Instagram, and like the first thing I saw was like an image of people climbing a wall. And I said, oh, wow, a new X-Men movie is coming out. This is awesome because my son and I watch X-Men. This is one of the things we do. I was like, oh my God, this is great. So I go down to read the caption and I'm like, wait, nope. And got right off Instagram and I was done. I was like, I don't, nope, nope, and nope. And then one of my girlfriend groups, like a couple minutes later, a text message went out in the group, stay off the news, stay off social media. Sharice, this is specifically for you. Stay off. Because they know once I start watching this stuff, I'll start spiraling and go into a dark place. So they were preparing me and protecting me from being able to go to really feel and experience everything that was happening. So it was really, it's been really trying week. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember that day I had a 2 o'clock therapy session, a 3 o'clock therapy session, a 4 o'clock mm-hmm. Zoom meeting, a 5 o'clock therapy session, a 6 o'clock therapy session, a 7 o'clock therapy session. And so between 2 p.m. and 8 p.m., I was glued to a camera. And so when I logged off at 8 p.m., somewhere around 10 after 8, I jump on Facebook and I was like, and people on Facebook make posts, but not necessarily attached to anything in particular. So you kind of have to read through what you think their message is about. Right. And people are like, they were just making unattached, just random sentences. And so I was just like, there's a lot of random sentences right now. Like, what is going on? And finally, I scrolled far enough that somebody shared a breaking news link. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, we're going to log off now. And I went and ate horribly that night.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to be, I'm just going to be transparent. That I'm not going to say there haven't been times where I have laughed at the aftermath and the pure shock of these domestic terrorists actually having to answer for their crimes. I find pure humor in that. If that's wrong, that's just wrong because it's funny to me.
Yeah. It's been funny because for me, I watched and because I was like maybe 2 days before I got back on and saw anything. And one of the first things I saw that made me laugh was like, Black people, this is not your fight. Stay home, mind your business, because this is not our fight. This is not our fight. And it made me laugh because that's like what I was, I had had a conversation and I was like, I don't want to know what's going on. I don't feel like this is any of my business. I don't feel like I need to really know because this, I don't think this is what I need to know. So I'm going to just go over here and do this other stuff. So when I saw that, that was very funny to me, but it has been funny watching them panic with having to take accountability for the things that they did, and then to see images and people have shaved and cut their hair so they look different, and so that has been really funny to watch. And I think it was D.L. Hughley that put a post up on Instagram that said, this is why your, something like, this is why your grandparents wore hoods after everybody started getting arrested. It's like, see, this is why your grandparents wore hoods. Yeah. So this has been crazy. This has been really a crazy, crazy, a crazy time. The thing that I've been saying for the last 4 years of this presidency is that people need to stop making permanent decisions with a temporary person. And now, as we're watching this, it's like, oh no, I'm not this type of person. I'm not that type of person. Oh no. For 4 years, it was like, he's your leader. Oh. And, you know, you're going to do whatever he says. And now that it's coming to an end, it's like, oh no, I'm not that type of person. Oh no, you're mistaken. I love black people. Oh, blah, blah. I don't do this. I'm not racist. Oh. So it's so interesting to watch everyone try to backpedal, watch so many people try to backpedal from this situation. But you made permanent decisions with a temporary person. Mm-hmm. And now you don't know how to get out of this mess. So this is going to be interesting, to say the least, to watch this unfold.
Vein of thought, when someone says, when some politician or whatever, people are saying, oh, now you see who he is. No, they always knew who he was.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I mean, we all knew who he was.
Always knew.
He never really tried to hide it or even defend it. He just was. We know who we're dealing with. Y'all just wanted to ignore that, it.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to see people, everything you claimed you stood for. So when you think about all of the losses that Colin Kaepernick took, because he was unpatriotic, because he wouldn't stand, because he kneeled during the singing of the national anthem. But then you're taking the American flag and beating people with it. And storming the Capitol, intent to cause harm and death to people. But you're patriotic. So how are you able to reconcile that?
Right.
So it's,
do those blue lives matter? That's the question I would love an answer to.
That's right. Do they matter?
So.
And that was scary too. Also watching so many police officers, firefighters, and military people engaged in this. Not shocking, but interesting, mm-hmm. To watch. So many of them come from across the country to participate in this. Scary, and it's sad because you're going back into whatever community you're policing or doing firefighting for, or whatever community you're in, and you're gonna have to go back and engage with black and brown people. Mm-hmm. How do you reconcile? How do you reconcile that?
Right.
And so we're
that's why I'm happy, it's
an interesting time.
We'll be going into a little bit more in depth over this episode and future episodes about trauma, because, you know, like you said, 2020 was it. You know, it was right, but then 2021 mm-hmm. is just 2020 with a wig. It's just, we just gonna keep it moving, right? So there are times when we are re-traumatized by the same traumas that we never did have a chance to process. And it's just, it's a lot. So I'm excited to get into this episode. So let's breeze through our next couple of segments so we can get into the topic at hand. Mm-hmm. And so it's time for Hey Gorgeous. Yes, yes. It is time for Hey Gorgeous, and Hey Gorgeous, G-A-W-J-U-S-S, is a segment where we highlight a woman who is godly, active, wise, just, uplifting, sincere, and soulful. And today's Hey Gorgeous honoree is Reverend Raylan Robinson. Did I say her name correctly?
Hey, Ray Ray. Yes, you did.
Raylan Monique Robinson was born and raised in West Philadelphia. where she grew up in Grace Lutheran Church. It was in this church nestled in Mantua. She had an inkling that she wanted to go beyond the pew to the pulpit. This small spark grew as she took on ministries and programs within the church and synod. She participated in her church choir, praise dance team, and acolyte. She has also served in the synod's diversity representative and vice president of the Lutheran Youth Organization. This is a born leader. These explorations strengthened her faith and prepared her for a call to ministry. She worked as a camp counselor and leadership staff member at Crossroads Camp and Retreat Center in New Jersey. She formed the first Lutheran club and was the president at her college campus. She participated in Project Connect and did an immersion internship in Boston, serving a church planter. She traveled throughout the East Coast doing theological education with youth, pulpit supplied, and led various leadership roles in the ELCA. Raylan received her BA in anthropology and sociology from Wagner College, where she thrived as a leader in many on-campus and off-campus organizations. Following graduation, Raylan participated in Young Adults in Global Mission, YAGM, spending a year volunteering and immersing herself in the culture and religious history of Jerusalem and the West Bank. After her year of service, she traveled back to Philadelphia to continue her call to ministry by attending seminary. While in seminary, Raylan worked as a contract chaplain for an inner city hospital. She wrote for ELCA magazines, which she still does today. Raylan graduated this spring from United Lutheran Seminary, receiving a Master's of Divinity and Certificate for Black Church Studies. Let me give Skipper a round of applause. That's awesome. So Raylan currently just accepted her first call as an associate pastor in Wichita, Kansas, serving Reformation Lutheran Church. Raylan believes her faith and a good pair of shoes can take you a long way. I agree.
Yes, girl.
Attending United Lutheran, wait, hold on. Oh, this upcoming fall, she will be a vicar at Holy Communion in Center City, Philadelphia. She's a contract chaplain at Einstein Hospital in North Philadelphia and writes for the ELCA Bold Cafe magazine. Raylan Robinson is a pastor at Reformation Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. When she is not pastoring, she's still writing for the ELCA publications and serving in leadership roles in church-wide events. Okay. I'm sorry, I copied it and repeated it a couple of times. So, I present to you all this episode's Hey Gorgeous honoree, Reverend Raylan Robinson.
Yeah. Yes. So awesome. Raylan and I met during my time in seminary. And she became this little sister to me, and she is absolutely phenomenal. And I can say this because I tell her this all the time. She gets on every nerve that I have. But I wouldn't trade her for anything in a way that only a little sister could get on your nerves. But she is so gifted and giving and talented and beautiful. She is beautiful inside and out. And I just absolutely adore her. And I am so proud of everything that she's doing and everything that God is doing in her life. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I am happy to have Reverend Raylan. And I love that. It's like, I feel like it's a moniker, you know, Reverend Raylan. Happy to have her as our Hey Gorgeous honoree in our fourth season and second episode of the Resilient Society podcast. Mm-hmm. And so now we're going to take time for our woman law. This one will be brief. Woman Law began as a weekly live stream addressing a trend that I noticed that had the potential to go against us positively owning our growth and maturity and standing in our womanhood. Now we've had fun. We've had our fun as girls, but now we're women. Mm-hmm. And One thing that I noticed that we are doing often is we think that we're starting to own our feelings by stating, well, I feel like, you know, starting a sentence with, I feel like she shouldn't have said that to me. I feel like he's going to harm me. I feel like my supervisor doesn't have my back. Whenever you start a sentence or a statement with, I feel like, or I feel that, what you're actually expressing is a thought, not a feeling. Mm-hmm. It is a thought. So if we as women are going to own our feelings, then let's own our thoughts too. We need to be just as confident in saying, I think, I believe, I stand on this thought, this opinion, this stance, instead of hiding behind, I feel like. Because if we say, I feel, many times people think that that will soften the blow and people won't argue back with you because you're expressing a feeling, but you're not expressing a feeling. You are expressing a thought. And so as we move forward, I think we should add into our woman law that we're going to cancel, I feel like. Take that out of our vocabulary. Cancel, I feel like.
Right.
And replace it with, I think. We have opinions, we have a brain, we have thoughts, and we should be confident enough in what we think to be able to state that without apology. So the I feel like, toss it. Get it out of your vocabulary. If you start with I feel, make sure the next word is actually a feeling. I feel hurt because. I feel betrayed when. I feel happy due to. But what we're going to actually express is our thoughts.
Right.
So we're going to cancel I feel like and stand on our thoughts. And that is woman law.
Thanks, Sin. I like woman law.
Why, thank you.
I completely and totally agree with that. I think it's going to take a lot of retraining of ourselves. Because you know, our voice, our opinions, and our thoughts are not always accepted, accepted or respected or even heard. So I think it's going to take a lot of retraining of the mind to get us into that space of being comfortable with what our thoughts are and expressing our thoughts.
Today we are doing an intro into trauma. And so I am so glad we have our trauma expert, Ms. Charisse Wright, with us. And so Charisse, I'm just gonna go ahead and relinquish to you so that you can help us really know what trauma actually is, and maybe, you know, we can start talking about how we can heal from it, but we can't heal what we can't identify. So take it away, my friend.
Exactly. Thank you, Sin. Thanks. All right. So we kind of talked about this briefly last week when I gave you the definition of trauma. So I want to give you the definition of trauma again, as defined by SAMHSA, which is the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. And SAMHSA defines trauma as an individual. Trauma is an event, a series of events, or a set of circumstances that is experienced by an individual as physically or emotionally harmful or life-threatening, and that has lasting adverse effects on the individual's functioning and mental, physical, social, emotional, and spiritual well-being. So trauma is very individual. Of course, we also have community trauma, but for this purpose, we're talking about individual trauma. And trauma is seen through the eyes of the person who has experienced it, not through the eyes of someone else. So we are not able to tell someone what is traumatizing to them. So if you think about an individual event, you could think about maybe a car accident. And two people can get in the exact same car accident, and one person is in a space where they are perfectly fine, and another person is in a space where they are emotionally and mentally crippled and refuse to get behind the wheel of a car, refuse to drive around certain areas because that event traumatized them. So you can't tell someone what is traumatizing. And oftentimes when we talk about trauma, we try to tell someone what is traumatizing and what is not traumatizing to them. And that is a huge disservice that we are giving to other people. So the biggest thing to take away from the definition of understanding what trauma is that it is an event, it is an experience, and it is the effects. And one of the most important things to understand in that is that it is the experience. It's the individual's experience of that event determines whether it is traumatic or not. Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That actually helps a lot.
Okay. And so the effects of trauma, because when we talk about trauma, we tend to only think or hear like physical trauma, as if we've been hit by something or we've been in some type of accident. But trauma impacts not only you physically, but it also impacts you socially, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally, because it can change your entire outlook on life. So think about someone who has been sexually abused as a child. We would tend to think that, oh, the sexual abuse is over, and so that person should be okay. But that's not how trauma always works. Trauma can turn around and impact that person mentally, emotionally, and they're unable to have healthy relationships. Sometimes we can get into a space where it affects us physically, where I'm just going to sit and eat, or I'm not going to eat. Spiritually, now that this has happened to me, I prayed for God to take me out of this situation, and God didn't take me out of this situation. So now I don't believe in God. So there are numerous consequences that come from experiencing trauma, but it's most important to understand how that person experiences trauma. Any questions about that? Thoughts?
So it's kind of like when three people can be in a room and one event happens, but all three people experience it differently. So one of those mm-hmm. three people could be traumatized emotionally. Mm-hmm. One of the three people could be traumatized mm-hmm. maybe even physically. And the third person may not even be traumatized at all, mm-hmm. depending on how they...
Huh. Correct.
Receive the event.
How they perceived it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you think about, and using that type of example. So think about when there is witnesses to a crime. Mm-hmm. And everybody is telling their story. And you're like, how all you all experienced this, and everybody got a different story. Even in the way we process what the person looks like, you see they have all of these multiple drawings of who the perpetrator is, and it doesn't even look the same. So that's the same way when you think about trauma. It's how that individual experienced that event.
Okay.
Yeah. And so when we also talk about or think about trauma, one of the things that we have to look at is that trauma is widespread. So when we look at the things that are happening now with COVID, we haven't even really, of course, people are grieving the loss of their loved ones who have passed away, but we haven't even begun to experience the true consequences of COVID because we're still in the middle of this. So as I watch different shows and read different things, this is going to be one, I believe this is going to be one of those generational traumatic experiences that we talk about. Mm-hmm. When we talk about slavery, when we talk about racism, I think we're going to see that it's going to be when we talk about COVID, mm-hmm. because it's going to have such a widespread effect on so many people. So there are a lot of potential traumatic events. So it can be abuse, emotional, sexual, physical, domestic violence, witnessing violence. You don't even have to have physically experienced the violence, but just witnessing it. Bullying, cyberbullying, institutional abuse. Then potential traumatic events are loss. So death, abandonment, neglect, separation, natural disasters, accidents, terrorism, war. And then there are chronic stressors, which are poverty, racism, invasive medical procedures, community trauma, historical trauma, family members who have substance use disorders. So there are a lot of things that can be considered trauma or that can be considered traumatic events. And so we can't just solely focus on one area because it can impact, it's like an avalanche. It can impact multiple different areas in our lives and have impact a wide range of events that we experience. So if you are, one of the examples I have is that here in Philadelphia, when the pandemic first hit, and they shut down the schools, our superintendent was very intentional with quickly opening up food banks for kids to be able to come out and get food. And we realized, if you didn't know, the extent of food insecurity. So the pandemic shut down schools, then parents weren't able to send their kids to school. Now these children are not able to eat, because for a lot of children, what we found out is that the only time that they were getting food was when they came to school. So if you have food insecurity, 9 times out of 10, you are living in poverty and maybe having some type of housing instability as well. And then there is also that possibility that there is some type of employment issue. So all of these are chronic stressors that can impact you and can impact these children. So when we talk about trauma, we have to look at it in a multi-lens way because it's not just one thing. So for some people, the only time that they felt safe was when they weren't in their home. And now we are being restricted to our homes. Mm-hmm. So where is my safe space?
Right.
So now I am constantly in a space of feeling traumatized because I'm in this unsafe space.
Right.
And I have nowhere to go. Questions, thoughts? It's a lot unpacking trauma.
It is. And even in what I perceived to be my nice quiet neighborhood, we may have been 3 weeks into the safer at home measures, and I ended up calling 911 because there was a woman down the street screaming, and to the point where I think 3 or 4 households, we all came out of our house to see what is going on. And it was some sort of domestic violence mm-hmm. issue. And I'm just like, wow, I've been living here 4 years, you know, with nothing. And we're home 3 weeks. And here we go. Yeah. So mm-hmm. what you just said is absolutely spot on that sometimes the safest place was at work for some people. Mm-hmm. And so now not being mm-hmm. there and having to be in the unsafe place adds another mm-hmm. level of trauma on top of trauma.
Another level. And then to think about the people within the community who have now witnessed and experienced this, who may have their own history of experiencing domestic violence. So now this is a triggering experience for them. And so trauma is really big on exposing our triggers. Mm. And triggers are our responses to events. And it can come from anything. It can be a smell, a sound, a television show, a car backfiring, a song. It can be anything that triggers you. The unfortunate part about triggers is that you don't know what your trigger is until you are triggered. And that is a very scary space to be in, because for a lot of people, once you are triggered, you're taken back into that traumatic experience, and then you're in a space of fight, flight, or freeze. And your body is just responding because your mind has taken you back. Your mind and your body have potentially taken you back into a horrific experience. Right. And now your body is saying, I have to survive. I have to survive. What is it that I do to be able to survive? And is that fight? Is that freeze? Is that flee? Do I run away? I remember when I first moved here, I was walking down the street and this guy, he wasn't really paying attention, but we were crossing each other at this intersection. And I guess because he wasn't paying attention and he wasn't just walking straight, he curved a little and we got too close to each other. And he drew back to hit me. And I had to take like a couple of steps and was like, oh, and put my hand up. And he stopped and he just instantly started, like he was looking at me and you could see he had this deer in the headlights look. And so now I'm frozen because I'm like, I'm not moving. I don't know how he's going to respond to me. And I'm like, sir, are you okay? Are you okay? And once he came, he just was like, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. But I knew in that moment that something that I had no idea about triggered him. And had I not stepped back, he could have potentially assaulted me. And not because he was trying to hurt me, but because he was reliving some sort of horrible experience for himself. And so that's what can sometimes make triggers scary, because you just don't know when it's going to pop up or when, how you're going to be able to respond to it.
Wow.
Yeah. So as we kind of move through this pandemic and look at all of the things that this pandemic has brought to the forefront for us. One of the things I have kind of tried to be intentional with us in understanding is that healing happens in relationships. So it is super important for us to connect in healthy ways and connect with healthy relationships to the best of our ability when we're in these places where we don't know what's happening and we don't know what to expect. Because we all, for the most part, we have all experienced some form of trauma before the pandemic happened. And we were already trying to live and survive through it. then the pandemic happened, and now there is more trauma being placed on top of us every single day. Mm-hmm. So how do we heal from that? How do we begin to have conversations around that? Mm-hmm. Especially when we're still actively living it.
Right.
So what do we do?
Isn't that the $1 million question? What do
and
we
it is
do?
A lot.
And that's, it's one of the reasons why we decided to just start talking about it, because it's got to start somewhere. We have to start mm-hmm. talking about what our traumas are, what triggers have been exposed because of the traumas. And then maybe we can, you know, find ourselves a good therapist to help us unpack mm-hmm. Those traumas and those triggers while we're still experiencing them. And I do want to say, just because we do the work and identify and unpack our trauma and our triggers doesn't mean they go away. Similar to ignoring them doesn't mean they go away. It just means that we learn mm-hmm. how to use them in our resilience, in a resilient way. We learn how to use mm-hmm. them to strengthen us and propel us forward, you know, use them to motivate our growth and our maturity. But they don't mm-hmm. necessarily go away.
And that is absolutely correct, because once you recognize what your trauma is and you begin to heal, it's still a scar. But what you've done is that you've removed that Band-Aid. You've taken that bullet out and you've allowed it to start healing. Mm-hmm. You'll forever have the scar, but as you go through the process of healing, the sting of the trauma goes away. Mm-hmm. And what we see is that a lot of people, there are a lot of people who experience trauma who already have a lot of resiliency factors in place for them. And one of the biggest things in having resiliency factors is healthy relationships. I cannot speak on that enough. And it is so important. And it is super important for me. And I know, because I'm the queen of, I don't want a relationship. I don't want to be connected. I'm good.
I mean, that is how we
But do. It is so, right. Right. So I know I have to be intentional. Like most of my relationships started in a space of me not wanting this relationship. But me needing those relationships. Mm-hmm. Because maybe a couple weeks ago, I sent out, because I've been through quite a few changes during this pandemic. I had to have spinal surgery that came out of nowhere. I had pneumonia. I've dealt with all of this stuff on top of all of the things that brought on the pandemic. And my girlfriends have been my saving grace. And I didn't want to have relationships with any of them because I am the queen of being perfectly happy watching Golden Girls and Living Single on TV with my blinds closed and not talking to anybody. But as I went through this, my girlfriends were the ones that were consistently there and pouring into me, and that healthy connection that I needed that allowed me to move forward and not sit into this broken space. We have to be so careful because it is so easy for us to stay in toxic situations and toxic relationships, especially when we have experienced a lot of trauma, because we think that that is healthy. And those relationships can be a detriment to us. Mm-hmm. So healing happens in relationships. Healing happens in community. And we have to be able to see and hear that. So that we can begin to move forward, because life is continuously coming at us. Right. And we have to be able to develop tools to be able to move forward. And my question to the audience, to you, Sin, is what's in your toolbox?
Right.
What is it that you're doing? Do we wait until we completely and totally have fallen apart and we're completely and totally empty to try to refill ourselves? I've done that and it's horrible. Or do we have spaces or things in place to begin to have available for us when life is happening? And what does that look like? Mm-hmm. For me, I like smells. I have candles everywhere. I have scented lotions everywhere, because smells is soothing. Music, I have music playing all the time. I'll have my tea. I try to get my rest, and I have these things listed so that I know what I need to do. I pray. I can tell about when I'm really struggling, because the first sign is I start cursing a whole lot, like a sailor, and that's when I know my self-care is not where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. So do we know what that looks like? And it takes a lot of work to sit and look internally at ourselves, because in particular as women, it is frowned upon for us to take care of ourselves. We sacrifice our happiness, our health, our well-being for the people that we love. And that is not healthy, and that is not okay.
Absolutely.
But as a society, that's what we've been taught that we're supposed to do. And you're a failure as a woman, as a mother, as a wife, as a friend, if you're not putting all of these people and all of these things before you. You're a failure as a sister, a daughter, a this, whatever your role is, if you're not putting other people before you. And that is not what we are supposed to do. And even from a biblical standpoint, that's not how God sees us. Because if we talk about the two greatest commandments is to love God and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And what God, the implication in that is that we are loving ourselves healthy, that we are loving ourselves in a manner that is appropriate and healing and caring and compassionate and empathetic. And that's what we're doing with ourselves. So we're able to turn and give that to our neighbors.
Right.
But we attempt to give that to everybody else before we give that to ourselves. And then we're struggling. Mm-hmm. And then we're broken. And then we're hurting. And then we're angry. Because we haven't taken the time to sit and pour into ourselves to help us heal from our own traumas and our own horrible experiences.
Yeah, my mom says that a lot. Love your neighbor as yourself. As, not before.
Not before, as you love yourself.
As you love yourself, which means I'm supposed to love my neighbor the way that I love myself.
Wait.
But exactly. If I have no idea how to love myself, I'm not going to be able to dish this love out onto my neighbor.
Exactly.
So
that's so
No, I was actually going to say that's a perfect segue into the spirit support, but I wanted you to finish what you were going to say first.
Okay, so what I was just going to close out with, one of the things that is we must remember is that faith comes by hearing, fear comes by seeing. So if we're spending a lot more time watching the news, watching social media, we're going to stay in a space of being triggered, being traumatized, and being afraid. If we spend more time focused on the positive things and focused on our relationship with God and focused on our faith, then we're able to move forward. And it's not easy. It is hard. Mm-hmm. But it is very important for us to remember to plant those positive seeds in ourselves. Because we're surrounded by negative images, we're surrounded by negative images, negative words, negative thoughts, negative songs, that we're constantly, negative people, that we're constantly pouring into our system. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of times more negativity that is being poured into our system than we have positivity that is coming into our system. Mm-hmm. So we have to shift the way we think, and we have to shift the way we move. And it is a process, and it is a it's a time consuming investment in ourself, a necessary investment in ourself.
I do agree with that, and thank you very much for sharing with us what trauma is. We needed to have this episode because we're going to be talking about the different intersectionalities of trauma moving forward in other episodes, because like she said, one event can happen, but based on different perspectives of the people involved in that event, they're traumatized very differently. And so we're going to look at the different areas of trauma that has been uncovered through the things that we're still walking around with every day. Even though 2020 is over, 2020 ain't over. If anybody understands what I mean. The things that were uncovered, discovered, and magnified in 2020, if not paid attention to, addressed, and dealt with, the healing will not occur, and we will continue to walk around with that and piling other things on top of it. So we are trying to take some time to just do a little bit of unpacking of some of those intersectionalities. Yeah. And so it's time to close this episode, but we're not going to leave you hanging. My lovely co-host is going to bring you some spirit support.
So I was watching a million, and I never can remember the name of this show, A Million Pieces, A Million Little Pieces, A Million Little Things, that the name of the show. And so one of the characters said, keep your mind where your body is. And that really resonated with me because I've had multiple conversations with people who are already in a space where they are panicking about 2024. And I'm like, it is January 2021. We cannot move to 2024 because we're already concerned about it. So it is so important that we keep our mind where our body is. So we have to stay present. And Matthew 6 and 34 tells us, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. It's so easy to move forward and focus on everything that we have to do. I have three planners with stuff everywhere, with all of the things that I have to do. I use it to keep myself organized, but I don't allow it to panic me about what is happening in the future because I have no control over it. And all it does is causes me to live in a state of fear. So how do we move forward and continue to stay present? And we do that by being intentional with our time. We do that by being intentional and staying in our word and spending intentional time with God. Because God didn't create us to be in a space where we are terrified, where we are fearful. And if we are so focused on what is happening tomorrow, next year, in 3 years, then how are we able to enjoy the experiences of today? And while it may look very bleak, I guarantee that if you look hard enough, you'll be able to see the light in that dark tunnel. We just have to focus on what is happening around us now and stay present because it is so much going on in the world. It is so easy to slip down that slippery slope of depression and anxiety and fear when we are focused on all of the stuff that is to come, as opposed to being focused on what is happening now. So as we close out, I want to encourage you to keep your mind where your body is. Stay present. Do breathing exercises. You can do breathing exercises where you are talking to yourself and feeling your feet and feeling your hands and feeling your legs to calm your body, to calm your mind, to help you be able to continue moving forward. It is so necessary for us because we're in the midst of a lot of chaos. And for us to be able to continue surviving the chaos, we have to stay present because the trick of the enemy is to remind us of everything that is happening over here. But stay here. Stay here because God is taking care of everything over here. And if we stay here, we can see the amazing things that God is doing in all of our lives. Because no matter what this looks like, God is still on the throne and God is still in control. So keep your mind where your body is. Thank you.
Thank you for that. I know I needed it, and I'm sure other people needed to hear that as well. And so I thank everybody for tuning in to the Resilient Society podcast. If you have
Yes.
someone you would like to nominate for Hey Gorgeous, the link to do the, to be able to do that, you can find that in the show notes. For those of you who are listening through the audio, also, if you'd like to submit a question to be asked on one of our Q&A episodes, we can leave the link for that as well. Be sure to rate us and leave a comment on whatever podcast listening platform you're on and share us with a friend or a few. So whatever time of the day it is that you're tuned in, we bid you good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night.
Thank you.